Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Okay, it is time for the John Daniels Show now here on your home of the Rangers. Off tonight, host the Diamondbacks tomorrow, as you heard Nadell there in the promo. The John Daniels Show brought to you by City Center Fort Worth, the premier business address for office space in downtown Fort Worth. Find out more at citycenterfw.com and Budweiser Nitro Gold, infused with nitro for a taste as smooth as silk. And a good afternoon, John. How you doing today?
I'm all right, guys. I'm all right, guys. How are you?
We're doing okay. It's great to have baseball back, but wow, taking one on the chin here with the news on Corey Kluber. What all can you tell us?
Yeah, it was kind of a surprise, I think, to everybody, including to Corey. Warmed up great the other day. Had no issues at all coming in. Got out there on the mound. He said he felt it against the first batter. He doesn't remember exactly what pitcher felt what pitch against David Dahl, and said it kind of progressively got a little bit tighter as the inning went on. Obviously, he finished it as he looked good. He didn't really land his breaking ball, but otherwise his command was there. He was 92, 93, kind of about where you expected him to be. I was kind of surprised when we got a call from the trainer that he was coming out and got an MRI. He's got a tear and a really small muscle in the back of the shoulder that's not terribly uncommon for pitchers, but it's. And it doesn't require any surgery, but unfortunately, it's not a real quick return. It's at least 4 weeks, maybe longer. No throwing. He'll be reevaluated in 4 weeks, and obviously, you can do the math on the calendar in a 60-game season. That's a large chunk of the year at a minimum that he's going to be out.
How confident are you? Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Jeff.
I was just going to say, how long? If you can't throw a ball for at least 4 weeks, even in the best case scenario, it seems like it would be a stretch to think he could be a starting pitcher again during the season.
Yeah, I would doubt it. I think I don't want to say best case scenario, but a good scenario would be if he was cleared at 4 weeks, the healing had gone really well and could start, picking up a baseball then. And even with a fairly, aggressive kind of ramp up, I think having him back at the end of the year as a reliever is, would probably be, the most that you could hope for realistically.
John, I was going to ask you about over the weekend, I thought the relief pitching was fine for you guys and stuff, but the hitting seemed to be something, at least the clutch hitting seemed to be a problem. Is this something that, when you get into a season, it's like, is this going to take time? Do we need to be patient? Or was this something that, you're like, you were a little bit surprised. You felt like, my pitcher's been pretty good against us. Felt like maybe seeing some other guys, we'd be able to swing the bats a little bit better over the weekend.
Yeah, it's tough. You get a week-long slump in a 60-game season. You're looking at, 10% of the year, if not more than that, right? So it's like everything is magnified. Injuries, slumps, great performances, everything. On Saturday in game two, we had a lot of chances and we really couldn't come up with a big hit. We had bases loaded a couple times, a big double play and a first and second, nobody out. And, we had a bunch of opportunities. I thought Colorado pitched us well. They pitched us backwards. They threw a ton of breaking balls, and we didn't make the adjustment in the short series. We had a few guys swung the bat well, but up and down the lineup, we just didn't put consistent at bats together nearly enough. And it was a low scoring series. Obviously, we pitched well in general, but we didn't get the bats going. And I think we kind of expected that our pitching may be, the stronger unit on the team. But our bats are capable of more than that, and hopefully we'll see that starting here with Arizona.
JD, I was talking earlier about, I think my favorite guy to watch this season is going to be Nick Solak, because I feel like in baseball, so many of the players now come up thinking about launch angle, and there's, you know, more power hitting and strikeouts, and it's just sort of what baseball has become. And he has no walks and no strikeouts, and it's fascinating to me, and I want to see how long he can do that for, where the ball is just constantly in play. Is that a challenge in any way for a coaching staff, that I feel like a lot of the players are kind of hitting the same way, and there's a guy whose approach seems to be very different?
No, I think that the term that hitting coaches use, that we use, like adjustability, right? And so you have a lot of guys that have a real big strength that can do something really well, and it's kind of what you're referring to there with like the three true outcomes of power and the walks and the strikeouts, but they're not necessarily able to adjust to other styles of pitching, or you know, if a pitcher can really execute against the hitter's weakness, they're successful. And you know, the best hitters are able to, they have their strength, but they're able to adjust if a guy is doing something differently to them. And that's what, you know, Nick is starting to really show. He's always been a good fastball hitter, and I think you're seeing him make some adjustments, being able to cover, you know, other pitches. And he's one of these guys that just, like, he doesn't always look, doesn't always look exactly orthodox, but he finds a way to be productive. I mean, he, you know, shoots a ball through the hole with the right side open the other day. He's driven balls to the gap. You know, he has good at bats. So I know Woody has said he's looking to find more and more ways to get him in there. I think another guy like that is Kiner, you know, another that has tough at bats and has shown the ability to adjust to different kinds of pitching. I thought it was, you know, it definitely hurt not having him in there the last 2 days.
Yeah, I was going to, JD, you know, as mentioned about the relief pitching, other than Jesse Chavez's hair, how shocking it is.
Right.
You know, I mean, those three innings that he went out there, I mean, he was just totally unfazed by the situation. You have to be pleased about what he was able to give you guys in those opportunities.
That's Chavi, man. I mean, he's not fazed by a whole lot on or off the field. Supremely confident, knows what he's capable of doing. He was off to a really, really good start last year. We had a couple openings in the rotation. We asked him to step in, and, you know, in hindsight, we probably asked too much of him because he was having a really good year in similar relief role. And then he never fully bounced back. He ended up having to have his elbow scope, but he was recovered really well from that, and we're going to keep him in the role he's in now.
I have a question about the park, because I feel like over the course of the three games, I saw at least two and maybe more balls that I think in Globe Life Park are gone, but in Globe Life Field are not, with it going back to 410 and 407 and those distances. Now, that's not going to affect Joey Gallo, because I feel like his average home run goes 800 feet. But will we see for the Rangers, when you look at the end of the year, maybe a difference in the number of home runs we have for a lot of these guys?
I think you probably will. I mean, it's real early to say, so I don't want to draw any conclusions off, you know, some inner squads and, you know, three real games. But, you know, it's clearly deeper to the center of the field, gap to gap. It's similar down the lines, and I think down the lines it plays pretty true. But it's playing big right now in the middle of the field. We really didn't have any idea from like a atmospheric standpoint, you know, how the ball was going to jump when it's open, when the roof's open, when it's closed. I don't know how having fans in there is going to affect things. But so far it has. And I think, you know, a couple of the balls you're referring to, Trevor Story really crushed two balls to left center with Danny Santana ran down. So, you know, it may have helped us in some regards.
It's John Daniels here with us on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. JD, we hadn't talked since playoff expansion was announced late last week, and I know that Kluber news is tough, but that postseason's a super realistic goal for this bunch still, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm a fan of the expanded postseason. Just in general, I think it's be really good for the sport, and I think it's got a chance to be good for us as well. I think you get into a kind of a short tournament, and anything can happen, and I also like that, you know, it's not the one game wild card, so you're probably less likely to have just a total Cinderella story, you know, where somebody has a, you know, a bad error or a bad call, and it kind of flips the series, flips the game, and, you know, still three games at the favored team's park. So you're not going to see a lot of flukes, I don't think, but I think just having more teams in it, more fan bases in it, will generate some excitement, especially in kind of a year where everything's a little upside down anyway.
Who gets the opportunity increase with the Kluber injury? Who are the young guys that, you know, maybe the other side of that coin is they have a chance to shine?
Yeah, Colby Allard is going to come in. You know, we picked up Colby in a deal with the Braves last year. It was a first-round pick for them a few years back. He's still just 22 years old. But I know the veteran starters have been really impressed just how he carries himself, his routine. Yeah, he's going to get this opportunity. He'll start, I believe, the end of the weekend against the Giants in San Francisco.
JD, I was going to ask you, and please correct me if I'm wrong here. I read where you were involved with before the season with the other general managers about how to handle the COVID situations when teams might have players that are on the road. And you were one of the guys that was stepping up and talking about how things need to be done and protocols and stuff like that. With what you've seen right now or heard about what's going on in with Miami, that just has to be a nightmare situation for the general managers and front office guys there in Miami. Can you kind of talk about, you know, is there anything that we don't know? Is there anything more that we can learn about their situation and what potentially could happen with you being on those committees and stuff?
Yeah, I can talk in general. I don't know exactly what other than media reports. I had text exchange today with Mike Hill, my counterpart in Miami. I worked with him briefly in Colorado, friendly, so just shot him a note of support. But I mean, just in general, the protocols are such that, and it's just common sense, right? Like if somebody tests positive and you're on the road, you're probably not going to put that guy on the team plane and fly home with everybody else. So you're left with a couple of options. The positive person, it could be player, staff, or it could be front office, whoever's there. They can either quarantine there in the hotel or like a corporate apartment, which is an option that has been looked into also. They can, if they're asymptomatic and feeling well in theory and it's not too far, like they, you know, if you're in Philly to New York or something, or us to Houston, in theory, you could, you know, rent them a car or get them a car and they could drive home. Obviously the car would have to be sanitized and all that afterwards, but they could get home. Or, you know, if there was some guys have the means to, or the ownership could fly them home privately. But, you know, so you have to kind of be prepared for that. And I think the genesis of the calls we had with the Western Division clubs, and there were a number of every team was involved, the 10 Western Division clubs, is just the mindset of, like, if somebody gets sick in your city, you know, nobody knows the local resources, you know, the best medical care, the best place to stay, the best place to get food, et cetera, like that home city. And so it was mostly just kind of a mutual commitment between clubs that, you know, if something happens in your city, you're going to, you know, jump in and kind of be willing to help as if it was your own people. And especially if, you know, the team has to leave and leave somebody behind, that, you know, we're going to take care of those folks like they were ours. So I think all 10 teams, you know, have the same idea. And, you know, hopefully it doesn't happen very often, but it seems, you know, pretty likely that, you know, it's going to happen occasionally.
It appears that, you know, what's happening there is going to be pretty manageable, other than maybe some missed games here immediately. How close are we, though, to the threshold where the league would look at suspending play overall? Are we close at all to it?
They haven't communicated, or certainly nothing that, you know, they've communicated broadly as far as what that would have to look like. I think we started this thing understanding, like, positive tests are not, you know, it's not an if, it's a when, right? It's an inevitability. This is going to happen. We're not immune to it. This is not a quarantine bubble that, you know, we're traveling, we're moving around, guys are living in their own homes, you know, they have families, et cetera. So I don't know that there is a clearly defined kind of threshold. But I think if they are isolated incidents, isolated positives, and if we do a good job of the protocols and keeping everybody safe outside of that, I think we can continue to play. Obviously, if you start to have, you know, outbreaks and things of that nature, then it's going to be a different story.
Should MLB be in a bubble, JD?
I don't think it would work. The size of, like, I think, you know, basketball, the size of the roster and the number of people is so much smaller. You know, to have enough players to have a backup just for normal injuries, not even COVID necessarily, and the number of staff. And I just think logistically it was just too big of a operation for it to work. I know we looked at it originally, and I was a little skeptical that we could pull it off.
All right, off tonight. Diamondbacks in town tomorrow. Give them hell. We'll be pulling for you, John.
Hey, guys, thank you. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.